It's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com and remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
In Wisconsin, parents pay one-third of their income on child care. Think about what we need our income for. Shelter, food, clothing, gas bill, electric bill. And we're talking about one child. This is a crisis. Young families are saddled with what is almost impossible to deal with.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce in Richland County. The UW system made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Live on location, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba. It is May 3rd, a Friday, 2024. It's a great day to be in Wisconsinite. We are live on location at the Pablo Center at the Confluence in downtown Eau Claire, Wisconsin. A beautiful day. Gorgeous Boy George Day. No, it's a gorgeous day at the Confluence here. We have the beautiful river right next to us. We've got green grass. We've got food trucks outside. We have this beautiful shot of the lobby, the atrium here at the Pablo Center in downtown Eau Claire. And back in the world headquarters in downtown Madison, our producer and engineer, the fabulous, the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers, welcoming to hour number two, Excitement Abounds.
Yes, I'm excited for the bottom of the hour here. In a little less than half an hour, we're going to have Pat Kreitlow of Up North News, formerly of WEAU News, joining his previous broadcast partner, Judy Clark.
I'm very excited about this because both Pat Kreitlow and Judy Clark were the anchor reporters at WEAU at the time when the Uniroyal tire plant closed down here in Eau Claire. And that's the main reason we're here, is for the world premiere tonight of this great documentary film called When Rubber Hit the Road. And it's not just the story, and we interviewed one of the filmmakers, BJ Hollers, last hour. It's not just the story of a tire plant or closing. It's also kind of the rebirth and how an entire community here in Eau Claire handled this shutdown and what happened afterwards. So it's not just all doom and gloom. There's some, you know, hope as well and some success stories. And then after the film premieres tonight, going to get a chance to hear from the filmmakers in a Q&A session, and then also questions and answers with some of the people who are in the documentary, catch up with them, find out what they're doing today. So the film comes from BJ Hollers and Steve Dayton of Fireside Productions. They've been working on this for some time and cannot wait for the world premiere. There are probably less now at this point than 40 tickets available. But if you're in the area or have time to drive to Eau Claire tonight, the film starts at 7 p.m. at the Pablo Center downtown. And you can go to pablo.org.
Pablocenter.org.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Zombers. Keeping me honest. That's good. Pablocenter.org. Pablocenter.org. Only $15 per ticket, and there's still some balcony seats available. As Gene Siskel used to say, and Roger Ebert, save me a seat in the aisle, which we'll see if my sister bought her tickets, so we'll see if she got us a seat on the aisle. But I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic. And again, when rubber hit the road. And so Pat Kreitlow, now of Up North News Radio, and our colleague here at Civic Media, and Judy Clark, who is a legend up here in the Chippewa Valley on television, WEAU Channel 13, NBC affiliate here in Eau Claire. So they will be back for the first time in a long time, maybe not quite the anchor desk, but at our desk here in the lobby atrium of the Pablo Center. So really looking forward to that as the show progresses. If you have a remembrance, if you remember when Uniroyal shut down here in Eau Claire, if you live in the area, or if you remember when GM shut down in Janesville, how that community was affected. If you've gone through this yourself, give us a call. We'd love to talk about it. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Make it easy for you. 855-75-CIVIC. That's C-I-V-I-C. Or guess what? You can also text us on the Civic Media app. It's available on your Apple or Android device. Simply go to your app store, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up. You'll see a little C and M logo. Tap on that. Takes less than a minute. It's free to download. It's what Gail King over at CBS calls a deal. Well, she calls the CBS app that, so I'm just taking it for granted. She'll probably call our app a deal as well. But we'd love to hear from you on this beautiful Friday afternoon in most parts of the state of Wisconsin. Just an absolute pleasure to be here at the Pablo Center. Mr. Sommers, growing up in Manitowoc, did you? I know you're a musician. You've studied music, went to Lawrence University, and I think that when you were younger, either in high school or your time at Lawrence, I know you're kind of there during the pandemic, but I think these opportunities in communities, these performance centers, are so key to younger musicians, actors, and artists.
They absolutely are. I was there a little bit before the pandemic because I started in the 16-17 school, or no, the 17-18 school year. Because I graduated in 2017 from high school. So we did a lot of performances, both attending or performing, at the Appleton, the Fox Valley PAC, and similar things in Eau Claire and elsewhere are really huge. And it's not just the college students who get involved. It's a lot of the community. And it's a great way to build community. And I think that the people of Appleton were really grateful to have that and the Lawrence Memorial Chapel just a few blocks away from each other. So you can go see some live classical music, go see a play, a musical, all kinds of things.
Yeah, no, it's really fantastic, and these performance arts centers are so critical to communities all across Wisconsin. And to your point, I mean, this is one of the finer ones, or the larger ones. I would say not the main hall that we'll be in tonight, where this movie is premiering, is not all that. I mean, I don't know the seating numbers, but I'm going to say about maybe half the size of the main hall at the Overture Center, maybe just over half the size. So it's a good size space. Certainly, as we said, some Broadway musicals are going to be coming here, but not every community of every size is going to have something like this. But whatever it is in your community, if you have an opportunity, you have a stage, you know, a couple of lights and a piano or a place to display artwork, what have you, these are all great venues to give kids a chance to explore their creativity.
Or in Manitowoc, the Capital Civic Center is really cool. I always loved that place.
Really?
They remodeled it recently, but they still kept a lot of the original, you know, stuff. That building, that performance center, is 100 years old, a little over now.
Wow.
And
wow, really?
To celebrate that, they got new seats, which I don't think they were 100 years old, but they certainly weren't new. So the new seats, very welcome. But that place is fantastic, and all kinds of community theater. I worked there for a while doing theater production, like spotlights, operating sound, things like that. And just the different people that got to perform there for reduced rates if they were a school or things like that, it really provided a lot of great opportunities.
Well, that's great. That's what it's all about. And as we said, it also has a direct economic tie, and here in the case, not every town is going to have a Justin Vernon that goes on to have, you know, Bon Iver, but every town has talent, and at some level, you can capitalize, literally and figuratively, on that talent, and it's not just touchy-feely stuff. The arts and performance and theater and music, it can also be a huge economic draw and a part of vitality, restoring vitality for downtowns as well. So it's great. I mean, you can tell I'm excited to be here, and it's a beautiful place as well. Mr. Zalmers, do you know what tomorrow is?
Saturday? No, I know what it is.
Yes, it is Saturday. Of course, it is May the 4th. May the 4th. And so, you know, people of Star Wars, or that like Star Wars, they've kind of created tomorrow as a holiday of sort, because May the 4th be with you.
Exactly. And then
May the 4th be with you.
Now, I might get these in the wrong order, but there's Revenge of the 5th and Return of the 6th after that.
I had not heard of that, really.
It might be Return and Revenge, or Revenge or Return. Either way, just more puns and more excuses to celebrate Star Wars. And I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I always have been.
Oh, me too.
I'm going to a 24-hour Star Wars movie marathon tonight, actually, in Milwaukee.
Are you really?
Yeah, I am.
Really?
And we'll see if I can stay awake. Probably not. But I'm particularly excited for Revenge of the Sith, the episode 3 in the prequel trilogy, because that's the first Star Wars movie I ever saw in theaters when I was like 6 and a half. And I think it was right after I had just gotten glasses too. So I could see. It was the first movie I saw in theaters that I could really see. And so that memory will stick with me forever. And I'm excited to relive that tonight.
Well, there you go. Good luck. So, are you staying up all 24 hours for this?
I'll do my best. The ticket included Star Wars themed breakfast. So, at the very least, I
really
am going to stay there. If I fall asleep, I fall asleep. I'm bringing earplugs just in case I really need to sleep, because I don't want to leave without that breakfast.
What is the menu for a Star Wars breakfast? Is it Tantooine sausage or eggs from, you know, weird space creatures, or what's on the menu?
Most of it is just puns based on names. I'm going to find the list here in just a second.
Right.
But the key element that actually references in movie Star Wars stuff is the blue milk that you just see in random scenes across the movies.
Yeah.
And right. I think in this event, it's not actually milk. It's some kind of blue fizzy drink that they're pretending. But we got a Bantha breakfast wrap. We got a Porg egg scramble. So, yep, you were right about the eggs, the weird aliens. Puffer pig bacon. Dex's Diner space waffles. Lethal Market fruit salad. Mooja muffins. Leia rolls, of course. Palpatine Farms vine coffee. Moof milk and moof juice. on the breakfast buffet or buffet. Wow.
Well, there you go. Your Star Wars themed movie. Well, here's a great story. Speaking of May the 4th tomorrow, Star Wars merchandise, a phenomenon bigger than the movies. Now, I'm old enough of a certain age. I remember the original premiere of Star Wars, the first Star Wars, back in 1977. It says here, toys from the film saga have dominated the hearts and wallets of fans. Now, back home in Mom's house in Richland Center, I still have my collection of Star Wars action figures. And no, they're not dolls, quote unquote.
Of course
they're
not.
Action figures. Of course not.
Are you reading that or are you saying you have them?
No, I'm saying I still,
those could be worth
I
money.
Still have mine. Well, I've looked, and here's the point of the article. We're going to come back on the other side and talk about this. It says, Star Wars has always been far more than a film franchise. It was a merchandising machine from the get-go, starting with George Lucas's decision to forego a $500,000 directing fee from 20th Century Fox in return for merchandising rights to the film in 1977. See?
He knew what he
George
was about.
Lucas, it's all you want, the rights to the stuff you create. Don't sell out for the one-time payment. Take the rights to the merchandise. We'll tell you more on the other side. Also, Pat Kreitlow and Judy Clark. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show on location for a Friday from the Pablo Center in downtown Eau Claire on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it, unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah. It's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there lived an evil, dark force called Trump and Trumpism. A young Jedi, Sage Wile, came from a land far away and decided to take on the Death Star. And today, the Empire has grown to 13 news talk stations around the galaxy of Wisconsin. The saga continues here on Civic Media. Welcome back to this show. We are live from downtown Eau Claire at the Pablo Center here at the Confluence, a great performing arts center. Tomorrow is May the 4th. That is why Mr. Zommers chose that iconic John Williams music from Star Wars. Boy, Aaron, is there a more recognizable musical movie theme than that?
No.
That is the right answer. There is not. There is not.
I think there are some that are close, but most of them are also by John Williams.
Exactly. And John Williams, I believe, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think he's in his 90s now,
or
90, and he's still writing music. I mean, the guy is just incredible.
He's 92.
I'm so glad. 92, see? And he's still getting it done. So Star Wars, like so many things, is iconic. And if you have a favorite Star Wars memory, by the way, if you have a favorite Star Wars action figure, give us a call. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842.
I also...
So we're reading for this article. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I also do want to say, I am very jealous of people who were alive to see the premiere of Star Wars in 1977, such as yourself or my parents, because There just was nothing like it before that. And I can only imagine that would be a life-changing experience. Whereas I grew up with it, and I was just inundated with special effects. But
no, this when I saw this in 1977, I mean, it blew me away as a kid. And because you never seen, like you say, you never seen anything like it. Off the text line, Cam and Nina listening to us on WISS in Oshkosh says, "You guys tricked me. I thought it was May the 4th with the music, which would mean I was working for free. I curse you, sir. I curse you 1,000 years of four Star Wars, the Christmas special."
Cam, that's not nice. Have you seen it? I've seen it.
I have not.
Don't.
Today's May the 3rd.
I love terrible movies so much, but the Star Wars Christmas special is something else. I'm glad I watched it at least once, and every once in a while I might get curious, but it is simply awful. It's a fever dream.
I've never seen it. But no, if you have a favorite Star Wars, today's May the 3rd. Tomorrow is May the 4th, as in May the 4th be with you. Give us your favorite Star Wars memory here. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. So again, this article we have here, it was a merchandising machine, Star Wars, from the get-go. George Lucas decided to forego a $500,000 directing fee from 20th Century Fox in return for merchandising rights to the film all the way back in 1977. Lucas sold his production company, Lucasfilms, to Disney in 2012 for, get this, $4.1 billion with a B dollars in stock and cash. So he gave up $500,000 in 77, but he checked out in 2012 for a little over $4 billion. Not a bad decision there by George Lucas. Doing really, really well. Let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Chris joining us from Janesville. Chris, thanks for listening to us in Janesville. Have a memory about Star Wars?
Oh, definitely. I remember I was only 3.5 years old, went to go see A New Hope. And the only thing that I can remember from it is I had to hide under the blanket in the back of the station wagon so our nanny didn't have to pay for me.
Right? That's a great story. I mean, I'm sorry that you were scared, but I was about eight or nine. My sister was about 4.5, 5, and she went with us, and she was probably a little young, and when Chewbacca came on, she started crying, so I went out in the lobby with her and missed like a quarter of the movie the first time because I was taking care of my sister. I later went back and saw the whole thing a couple of days later, but yeah, it was historical, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, it's really, really, really great. Appreciate the call. Thank you so much, Chris. Have a great day down there in Janesville. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. If you have a favorite Star Wars story or action figure story, if you have some of yours here off the text line, WISS Cam in Nasita or Nina says, "My dad gave me his original Star Wars toys when I was a kid. He described to me how people would go see it over and over, and how the one scene where Darth Vader sends out the bounty hunters spawned all of this expended universe for characters only ever to be shown in one scene. And also Star Wars is what saved Lego from going out of business, so that's pretty cool." That's true. There's a whole Lego stuff for Star Wars.
And when I was a kid, basically all I ever wanted, I was an extremely predictable kid to buy gifts for because I just wanted Lego Star Wars. Like, that was
really?
It. I just wanted Star Wars Legos. That's all I knew, all I wanted.
No, it's super cool, right? Back to this article here. Again, Lucas sold his production company, Lucasfilm, to Disney in 2012 for a little over $4 billion. Now, fast forward nearly 50 years later from 77, and that junk, or what you thought was junk, might rank amongst the most brilliant business decisions in Hollywood history. A mere 22% of Star Wars revenue over the years has been generated from the movies themselves. That ranks behind rentals and merchandise, and only double the proportion earned through gaming. When you look at the numbers, it's pretty clear the films are essentially just high-budget commercials. The total box office revenue, get this, box office revenue for all Star Wars films, $10.3 billion. Total merchandise revenue, $32 billion. So there again, you know, when you it's all about the rights to what you create. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Going to, I believe, Madison, our Madison Plumber on the line. Thanks for calling in. What say you about Star Wars?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. And also, I just want to say thank you for the shout-out the other day about plumbers. That was awesome.
Absolutely.
So I'm not old enough to have seen the original debut, but they did a re-release when I was maybe 10 years old in the theaters. And I went to go see that with my dad. And it was just kind of a cool memory. And my dad had some stories about when he went to go see it for the first time. And so, yeah.
Wow, that's super cool. Everybody of a certain age, it's one of those franchises that's impacted nearly everyone. So appreciate that. And again, thanks for all the hard work you do out there. All the plumbers and electricians and folks in the trades helping us out every day. We appreciate you very much. Have a great weekend. All right. Thank you very much. Stay with us here. Coming up next to the program, it is a Anchor Desk Reunion, Pat Kreitlow and Judy Clark, WEAU News here in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Pat, of course, now with Up North News Radio and our Civic Media colleague. He and Judy are going to join us right here at our own Anchor Desk and table. They are our own Star Wars Dynamic Duo. Their memories on the closure of the Uniroyal Tire Plant when our show rolls on live from Eau Claire, Wisconsin in the Pablo Center. It's the Allbo Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allbo Show.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Former President Trump's longtime advisor, Hope Hicks, testifying Friday in Trump's New York hush money trial. Hicks telling jurors that she believed Trump wanted to keep allegations that he had an affair with Stormy Daniels from coming out before the election. Three Indian men facing murder charges in Canada over the killing of a Sikh separatist who was gunned down last June in British Columbia, Mandeep Mugar with the RCMP.
Through complex investigative techniques and tremendous support from the community, we were able to gather significant evidence that led us to the individuals that were responsible for this homicide.
Canada's Prime Minister has blamed the Indian government of involvement. Lawmakers in Hawaii wrapping up a legislative session that was focused heavily on last year's deadly wildfire in Maui. Lawmakers approving $1 billion to cover various costs stemming from the disaster, including money for emergency housing and rental assistance. This is ABC News.
What's next for Doc Rivers? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks season came to an end Thursday night with a loss to the Pacers. Doc Rivers, who played basketball at Marquette, was asked what's it been like returning to Milwaukee nearly 40 years later.
I love it. I have an amazing appreciation for the city I live in, Milwaukee now. You know, it's funny, I was there in college, and I thought a lot about it. Didn't realize how much it would mean to me, honestly, until I got the job. And then I started thinking about all the guys, Hank Raymonds and Rick Majerus and all the professors at Marquette. I probably wouldn't be here if I hadn't have gone to that school. So a lot of ways I feel like I'm going to do whatever I can for this franchise. And I really am. I think we can win. I'm going to do everything I can to create that because it means more to me than I think you think for all those reasons. So it's rare. Usually right after the year, you want to go take a break. I can't wait to get started.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm Corey Hartman with your forecast for today. Showers are likely. We'll see a high near 62. It'll be breezy out of the southeast. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 40. Lots of sunshine for Sunday, highs in the mid-60s. Near 70 with sunshine for Monday. Tuesday, showers and storms. Wednesday, a few showers.
It's 48 at our studios.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Recent revelations from a disgraced cryptocurrency CEO gives us a glimpse of just how much campaign money flows into our election system, both what gets reported and what's called dark money. In an interview with journalist Tiffany Fong, FTX crypto exchange CEO Sam Bankman-Fried, now in custody in the Bahamas, admitted that he had not only given $40 million to Democrats and Democratic PACs to fund primary races, but he said he also gave an equal amount of dark money to Republican candidates. It's not yet known which dark money organizations, but typically 501c3 and 501c4 nonprofits, limited liability corporations, and other instruments are used to shield donor identities. Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington has since filed a campaign finance complaint with the Federal Elections Commission. Crew suggested that Bankman-Fried contributed as much as $37 million more than was reported to the FEC, and says that while the U.S. Supreme Court's Citizens United decision allows independent expenditure to groups, it doesn't allow those groups to pass through donations directly to candidates. Several politicians, including Arizona U.S. Senator Kyrsten Sinema, have reportedly returned money given to them by Bankman-Fried. We have links to the campaign funding transparency website Open Secrets and more details on the allegations at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Mino and the Mayor.
Well, Matt, this is really great. I'm glad I called your football game that night.
Yeah, me
too. I still remember that. That's the last game I ever did at the Bonta Bowl.
I think that might be the last game I ever played at the Bonta Bowl also.
Yeah.
So we share that together.
What a great place that is, though.
I loved it, man. Playing on that field, it was so loud being in the bowl there. The crowd noise.
Exactly. Yeah. I still remember that night. It was a rainy night.
Yep.
Isn't that funny? I got weird memories of games.
It is. It is.
Bizarre.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, Mary Mazzio, whose documentary Bad River focuses on the effort to remove a petroleum pipeline endangering waters up north.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Well played. Well played.
I was a fool to ever leave your side.
Aaron Sommers, you magnificent bastard. How could you do that to me?
Reunited, and it feels so good.
Welcome back to the Todd Hallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location at the Pablo Center in downtown Eau Claire. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, for those watching in the Chippewa Valley on the stream or listening as well, they've been reunited back at the anchor desk for the first time in years. Yes, Pat Kreitlow, former anchor and now host of Up North News Radio right here on Civic Media, along with his former anchor, co-anchor, Judy Clark of WEAU News 13, NBC affiliate here in the Eau Claire area. Folks, welcome in. Judy, great to have you, Pat. Great to have you back.
Yeah, who knew for all the times that we've been out either eating or drinking or whatever, we finally get somebody to point a camera at us, and that's a big deal.
And theme music.
I know. Never had that before. That's outstanding.
Well, it's great to have you guys here. I have family, Judy, here in Eau Claire. They've been here for, what, they're public school teachers. I've been here for 25 years-ish. And so when I told them, I said, well, we're having Pat on, and then his former anchor, Judy Clark, and my sister's like, what, Judy Clark? And I said, yes. And she said, she is like the Mark Cain of Eau Claire. And for those, Madison Mark Cain, longtime legendary anchor at Channel 3. And I said, yeah, she is. So people are very excited. I appreciate you coming on. And I think it's just a great example of having experienced journalists, someone who knows the area, who's committed, who can tell these stories. And I'm just so thankful you're here.
Well, thank you. Wow, that's really nice. Just so, she's been watching for 25 years. They grew up with me on.
How often I hear that. I watched you when I was a little girl.
Yeah, a little girl, and they're in their 40s. And,
So how long were you guys on the air together?
Together from 1998 to 2005.
Right.
Okay.
Wow. I've been off the air there for 18 years now. Wow. And people still come up, and they're just like, oh, haven't seen you on TV for a while. Yeah.
I know.
It's been a while.
It's been a little while, but they, again, when you're in, you know, when people welcome you into their homes like that for all those years, it's a very lovely thing. And I feel so fortunate to be able to do it now through the radio from 6 to 8 in the morning, and especially to be doing it on WCFW on their HD2, because, you know, Judy and I have a lot of connections to Chippewa Falls. We listened to the old WCFW where FM means
fine music.
Yep. You get the polka music every morning for a while. And so now to be in this, you know, iteration of it is especially nice.
Yeah, that's great. So Judy, you're still on WEAU, of course.
I just finished the noon newscast. I'm producing and anchoring the 4 o'clock. So I've got to get back to finish that.
Right.
And I co-anchor the 5. So yeah, I've been at WEAU for, I'm in my 35th year.
Wow. Congratulations. That's just fantastic. Mm-hmm. So the question is, somebody texted, who wore more makeup on set, Judy or Pat?
I call it a toss-up.
Okay. That's a toss-up. Right.
But it being small market TV, there was nothing better. There was no bigger laugh than when young guys who'd graduated college, and this was like their first TV job out of college, and they'd be on the air, and they'd either look really shiny or swarthy. And so you'd have to walk them over to Walgreens next door and, you know, tell them to pick out something here and watch how uncomfortable they get the first time they have to put it on. And it eventually becomes second nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're up here at the Pablo Center and doing the show for Claire because it's world premiere tonight, When Rubber Hit the Road by Fireside Productions. BJ Hollers, we interviewed him, one of the filmmakers, last hour. And of course, his film partner, Steve Dayton. They put this film together. It's about the Uniroyal tire plant closure back in the 90s here in Eau Claire. And Judy, were you on the air? Were you covering this as a reporter or an anchor? Or what are your memories of that closure in terms of your coverage of it as a journalist?
Yeah, I started at WEAU in 1990. Mm. And so this was really the first big story it was January 8th, 1991. And I was at home. I was the evening reporter at the time. So it was like, 10 a.m. I got a call from our news director, John Hoffland, legendary John Hoffland, saying, all hands on deck. We have to, you have to get here. Everybody has to be here. Uniroyal is shutting down for real this time, because there had been some talks through the years
and years
that they were going to shut down, and then there, you know, last minute type things would happen and people would come to the rescue, or they would say, we're not going to close right now. And there was some hope, but there was always that, you know, tension that it was going to close. And that was the day they made the announcement that morning. So I came in, I covered, I think, a city council meeting that they got together. Because the city had given Uniroyal like $2 million not to close. And that agreement was up that April, and this was January, from what I remember. But yeah, it was a crazy day, because everybody was there. I mean, in terms of our reporters, our staff, and we put together a half hour, or an hour special that night.
Wow.
Everything just was, we were everywhere.
And Pat, where were you journalistically at the time in your career when this happened?
This was my break from the Chippewa Valley. Judy and I went to college together here at UW Eau Claire, graduated in 86. Sherry, my wife, graduated in 87. Mm. And so then it was off to Milwaukee for 4 years for med school, and then 4 years in the Twin Cities for residency. And then we moved back here in 1995. But even for all those years, first as a college reporter and then a small market reporter, prior to leaving the area, there was always the occasional story of, rumors about, Uniroyal's finally going to close it up, or, just following the industry news. Some people would take jobs in, Alabama or wherever. And so I wasn't here when the big news hit, but even when I moved back, you still had a town that was trying to come to a reckoning. And boy, did it ever. Yeah. I mean, this area, we're in that neighborhood now, and I never thought the city center would be this shiny and new. And frankly, it all started with what could have been just the decaying carcass of a tire plant just a couple of blocks away from here. But a few folks came in and turned it into basically a business incubator, kind of a small business park, and did not let happen what has happened in so many Rust Belt towns.
Yeah, I think that's huge. That resiliency of this community was incredible. And we saw, Banbury Place come in. I think it was, Jack Kaiser, Bill Segan, that group came in and said, hey, we gotta do something about this. And it's thriving in this Phoenix Park area that we're kind of sitting in right now. Amazing. I mean, this used to be like an EPA Superfund site.
It was, seriously.
And why it's called, Phoenix. Well, it was Phoenix Steel, I think, was here at one time. Mm-hmm. But it was, it's amazing what this community has done. I mean, there was some hope at the end of the rainbow here because it was devastating at the time.
For those watching on the live stream, you can see in the shot with Pat here and Judy, all the names on the, or some of the names on the wall, and not individuals, and also companies who have given to build this Pablo Center. And I think, Judy, that's just emblematic what you're saying. And Pat, the community has come together, and it seems like that's unique to some degree, because not every community that goes through these major economic downfalls comes together. And I think it's just representative to me of the Chippewa Valley.
100%.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what it is. Because if you look back to that day, 1991, and then in 92 when it closed for good after 75 years, boy, there wasn't a lot of hope. I mean, really, these people, they had been there. Well, the Uniroyal was there for most of the 20th century, and it just was a big part of everyone's lives. I mean, the economy kind of revolved around that. Royal Credit Union came out of that, and it's just a lot of things happened. So when it closed, nobody really knew what's next, and people stepped up, and it really, it's a story of, again, resiliency in the way, people can make things happen.
We're talking with Judy Clark. She is the anchor here at WEAU News, Channel 13, NBC affiliate in Eau Claire, and Pat Kreitlow, a former anchor as well with Judy at WEAU, and now the host of Up North News Radio, carried right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And he joins us on Wednesdays, of course, normally, but nice to have him here with Judy as well. To both of you, is one of the things we talked to BJ Holler is that we're here for this premiere tonight of When Rubber Hits the Road at the Pablo Center at 7 o'clock. There are a handful of tickets still available. You can find them at pablocenter.org. I know we bought ours a couple of days ago, and we're up in the balcony because it's almost sold out, and that's fantastic news. Well, we talked last hour to one of the filmmakers, BJ Hollers. He was talking about the fact that back in the 90s, for those watching, listening, the younger viewers, we didn't have these.
Mm-mm.
And so it wasn't a matter of snapping or chatting with people, your friends. You had a social element at work. The people that you worked with at Uniroyal were your social network. To both of you, when this closed, not just economically, but what effect did this have on the community socially, friendships, relationships?
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. There were 1,300 people that lost their jobs, and that was a big part of their it wasn't just a job, it was a way of life. And I think that was a big part of that. They had softball teams and all bowling leagues and things like that, all built around Uniroyal.
They had their own sense of community. I recall as a young reporter having to cover a press conference at the Labor Temple. Well, to get to the conference room, banquet room area, you first have to go through the bar. And this was like 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. to go do this press conference. You walk in the bar, and it's like a Friday night at 10 o'clock because all the third shifters were off work.
Right.
So for them, it was, 10 o'clock on a Friday night.
Right.
And then you walk through another door to get into the conference, and suddenly it's 8 o'clock in the morning again.
Yeah.
But
they
gathered and then obviously did mourn together. I mean, the turnaround here was many, many years in the making, and there was quite a rough patch wondering, where are we going from here?
Right, because these were good jobs, good paying jobs, and the economy really did suffer because of that, in terms of there were some higher end shops at the time around Eau Claire, and that kind of went away when those jobs went away.
Judy, I know PJ said that you're featured in the film tonight, When the Rubber Hit the Road here. Is it just footage of your reporting anchoring, or did they interview you separately for the documentary?
Yes, they interviewed me, I think, a year ago, sometime in January, maybe a year ago. But, yeah, it just to kind of go over what happened that day and the impact of it.
Well, because, I mean, 13 was basically the archivist at the time.
Yeah, we were the only TV station at that time. Mm-hmm. It was very important to us to cover every aspect of that. We're the heart and soul of that story in terms of the workers. And it was really important to get all of that in.
Yeah, when we look at what's happened since, and again, it's not just a story of a downer here. Part of this film is A New Hope, to use a Star Wars reference. May the 4th.
May the 4th.
Yeah, exactly. We talked about last segment. But, you know, in your eyes, Judy, what has it been? What's been the key to this community in the revitalization and places like the Pueblo?
Well, the key, again, I think, is the community. I mean, everybody came together after this happened. I know I covered a lot of downtown revitalization task forces and community plant closing task forces, and sometimes those, you know, when you get a lot of people together, well, what actually happens out of these task forces? Right, are we just going to talk about it, or are we actually going to do something? And I think in this case, they really knew that we have to do something if Eau Claire is going to survive and thrive, because this big impact on the economy. But it took, like Pat said, it took some time. I mean, there were many stories I was doing downtown Eau Claire, and we thought these shops are never going to come back. You know, the stuff is always going to be closed.
And then it wasn't, in part because you also had other strong communities here. Yes, there was a Unirail community, but there's a very strong university here, as you experienced during your last visit here. Mm-hmm. There's a very strong healthcare sector here. Whole lot of, you know, nurses, doctors, providers, CVTC, the technical college. All of these various groups said, hey, this is our hometown. Mm-hmm. And so it was definitely not a sense of every man for themselves. Yeah. You know, it was, what can we do together? It took a little time, but yes, by evidenced by all these names, and there's so many familiar names on here, that everybody wanted to chip in something to, bring this place quite literally back to life.
Judy, do you have to take off to get ready for your 4 o'clock, or can you 5-6 more minutes, or you got to take off?
5-6 more minutes should be fine.
All right. We'll end at 1, so we got one more segment, because we want to come back and talk a little bit about journalism and how it differs maybe from the time when this broke to now. Mm-hmm. And we also are going to have Judy answer the question on people's minds: was Pat Kreitlow the original Sheriff Bob at WEAU? That more when we continue. We're live on location here at the Pueblo Center in downtown Eau Claire on the Civic Media.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinair on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location at the Abloh Center at the Confluence in beautiful downtown Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Coming up at 3 o'clock in about 9 minutes, or 2 o'clock, pardon me, in about 9 minutes or so, the Maggie Dawn Show on these very airwaves every afternoon, 2 until 4. Maggie Dawn, do not miss it. Right now, we are joined for one more segment by our guest this hour, the incomparable Judy Clark, anchor at WEAU News, Channel 13, NBC, and her former co-anchor.
Extremely comparable.
Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio, heard right here across Civic Media every morning, Monday through Friday, from 6 until 8. I appreciate both you staying with us. Looking back, Judy, you are still at WEAU. Pat, you did a stint in politics in the state legislature and now are with Up North News Radio. Comparing what it was like to cover that breaking news back in the 90s of Uniroyal, and then looking at the resources of today, certainly technology is different. But also it seems to me that it is not, I'm not picking on one any newsroom, I'm talking the industry, that there are fewer people. There's just things have changed in both of your eyes. What's better, what's worse, what's different?
Well, there are a lot of things that are different.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
But, yeah, technology, obviously, number one. I mean, I tell a lot of the new reporters that come in and they're like, well, how did you even get stories if you didn't have a cell phone or email? How did you even do it?
Wow.
Well, there was a telephone. I mean, it was a landline. We picked it up. We dialed.
did I tell you the story of how the first time I got a text message on my phone?
No.
It was one of our reporters.
No.
And I did not know that you could do that yet. I was blown away when Selena Heller, who's now part of Up North News, joins us on the radio show on Monday mornings. Uh-huh. She was in court, and we were like, Selena, you have to get out of that courtroom and call us like right before 5 and let us know, you know, if guilty or not guilty. And we weren't hearing anything. I thought, well, we're just going to have to go into the studio and not know. And my phone did a weird beep, and there were words on it that said not guilty. I'm like, that's got to be Selena. Do I have confirmation? No, but who else could this be? No.
The moment when Pat Kreitlow discovered technology.
Yes.
Film at 11.
It was, you know, all of these groundbreaking things, you know, that used to be film that you had to have developed here. I mean, we both learned how to edit audio tape, you know, with a razor blade. And
oh,
tape.
Yeah.
You know, it's so different that way. But then there are other things that are still the same. Basic reporting, mm-hmm. good storytelling. Feel like you're a part of the community. Some by birth, like Judy, some who pass through and stay for a while and then move on to other things. So many people. I mean, Judy and I would say back in that day, which would have been like 2003, 2004, 2005, we'd look at all the different desks and we said we should make a chart of who's at those desks now and who were all the people before that.
Wow.
And we realized we couldn't because even after 8-9 years, we were forgetting some names.
Yeah.
Now it's been 18 more. Can you imagine what that roster would look like?
I can't even. I wish I would have. I just talked about that the other day. I said, I wish we would have had some kind of a way to know that.
Yeah.
But that's the truth, though, about back then in 1991 when this news broke, we did have 4 or 5 reporters on different aspects of that story, and with a photographer. And I think that's the biggest change, that these are MMJs now, multimedia journalists. They're not a report, you know, it's not a reporter and a photographer, a team that goes together and gets and works together to get that video and that story that goes together. It's more of just, okay, we got to get this, we got to get, you know, move on to the next thing. That's the only thing that kind of bothers me about the way things have gone, and the people are, and there's just not as many.
Well, and I'll let Pat speak to this, because I mean this in all sincerity, it's not an embarrassing thing. I think it's fantastic when someone like you, Judy, is here as an anchor, literally and figuratively, because you bring that gravitas of experience, you know, the history of the community. You cannot replace that with a machine. You cannot replace that with a cub reporter, Pat.
No, you can't. And that's where we were. I was talking with somebody yesterday about Jim Riggs, who's our longtime meteorologist till he passed away. And Dave Carlson was our outdoors reporter. And they were probably in their 40s at that point, although it feels like they were in their 50s. Maybe.
Right.
But as a young reporter, I mean, you could be as cocky as you want, but you weren't anything until one or both of those men complimented you on a story.
Yeah.
Because
totally.
You needed that local presence, that mature presence, which you do not find in every newsroom. these days. There's a lot of cookie cutter going on there. So when you have somebody like Judy staying this many years, Bob Gallagher, who's, I mean, Chicago's his hometown, but he's been on 13 here almost as long as you.
5 years less, I think.
Yeah. I mean, to find people that will do that, just again, gives you that root in the community that you're not just ripping and reading, which is the business far too often.
And when you look at, we had her on earlier today, Anna Kleiber. She's the state news editor at the Daily Cardinal. She's been on her show now 4 or 5 days in a row covering the protests at UW-Madison. I'm blown away by her and these young journalists now at the Daily Cardinal. I've said it on the air, I'll say it again. I think they're giving us some of the best reporting right now about what's happening at Madison. So I think there is a great hope, Judy, for new journalists coming up.
Oh, yeah, we have. I don't want to put anything, say anything against the talent.
No.
Because that is definitely the case. We have some very, very smart. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, sometimes you sit there and you go, do they just want to be on TV?
Exactly. Right. Yep.
Or do they really care? And are they really curious about things? Are they really,
learn really quick which ones are about storytelling and getting the story. And we still tell stories about the ones who just wanted to be on TV, like the one who came back from covering storm damage, and she's in her stand-up, and I was anchoring that night. I'm watching her, and she picks up, she says, and downed power lines like these.
No.
And she picks it up as part of her stand-up. And that was the most flummoxed I ever was on air. Came back from that report saying, of course she had to have known the power lines were dead and you should never, ever do something like that.
Oh, big caveat, yes.
Yeah, as she did not.
But they are. They're super smart, super talented. Yeah. And again, I just wish they had more of what we had in terms of that photographer, team and that type of thing. But yeah, they're great. And there is hope for that, definitely.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Judy Clark, thank you so much for doing this. Thank you for coming out. And props to WEAU for supporting you and having great long-term anchors who can bring that history and that talent. We really appreciate you all across the state. So thanks for everything that you do. Pat Kreitlow, it's great to have you, of course, part of Civic Media through Up North News Radio. We appreciate your experience and news gathering as well. And also, Pat makes me wear makeup sometimes, even on the radio.
Even on the radio. Well, thank you, Todd.
I look better.
It.
Yeah,
make sure
better.
The video part of this show's got to work, too.
Right.
For you. I'm here for you.
Thank you, both of you. Judy Clark, Pat Kreitlow, appreciate you. Also, many thanks to BJ Holler, who was our guest earlier, Anna Kleiber from the Daily Cardinal. Chris and Emily, our great videographers here on scene, and also Mr. Zommers back at the World Headquarters back in Madison. We thank you. Stay tuned for Maggie Dawn next. Make it a great weekend. If you're in the Chippewa Valley area, the PabloCenter.org for tickets tonight for the world premiere of When Rubber Hit the Road. We'll see you on Monday. Make it a great weekend. Until then, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates radio show each and every day. We do a show about nothing, but we make it interesting and, we touch on the headlines. Tune in.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the talk of Green Bay.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Tearful testimony from one-time Trump administration communications advisor Hope Hicks in the criminal trial of her former boss on Friday. Criminal defense attorney Jeremy Salen says that she provided important details during questioning about the public image crisis Mr. Trump encountered in the lead up to his 2016 election.
She absolutely connects the dots. She explains the urgency and she understands and shares that story. It was a crisis that needed addressing immediately. She's a very valuable piece to raise that credibility up of Michael Cohen to tell the story.
Who made the hush money payment to Stormy Daniels. Representative Henry Cuellar and his wife Imelda indicted. The Department of Justice alleges that the couple accepted $600,000 in bribes, charges that could land them in prison for decades if they're convicted. A new round of storms battering Texas, already facing catastrophic flooding from swollen rivers. And it's Kentucky Derby Day. 20 horses set to compete in this year's Run for the Roses. This is ABC News. Three Indian men were arrested in Edmonton, Canada Friday, charged with first-degree murder and conspiracy to commit murder in the killing of a Sikh separatist. The separatist was ambushed and killed by three masked men last June in British Columbia in the parking lot of a Sikh house of worship where he was the president. Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau blaming Indian government agents for the shooting, India denying any involvement, but Canadian officials saying they have a smoking gun with the help of information supplied by the United States. Royal Canadian Mounted Police head of the interrogated homicide investigation team, Superintendent Mandeep Mukher.
Through complex investigative techniques and tremendous support from the community, we were able to gather significant evidence that led us to the individuals that were responsible for this homicide.
The victim fled India in the 1990s amid a crackdown on Sikh leaders. Rekindled hopes on Wall Street that an interest rate cut is coming thanks to Friday's lower-than-expected jobs report. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
The Todd Allbush.